Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. Thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares Municipal Pandemic Response. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak, organizations around the globe have come to rely on new communication tools to ensure business continuity. Services like Zoom and WebEx have allowed municipal teams and councils to continue meeting and making decisions. As the pandemic continues, however, it looks like virtual meetings are here to stay. So it makes sense for us to think about ways to now put some polish on our presence at these meetings. And our guest today is going to help us do just that. Jan Enns is a communications consultant, speaker, and trainer who's devoted her career to helping public sector professionals boost their communication efforts. With a passion for interactive training, Jan is joining us today to share tips on how to improve your online presence and rock your next video conference call. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Susan. And I have to say, I'm thrilled to be here. Love your podcast. It's so nice to have spaces like these where we can talk about all things local government. So thanks for having me.
Oh, delighted that you could join us. This is something that we're all finding our way in now. We were thrown into it very quickly, and a lot of folks, put together ad hoc strategies, but it looks like we're going to be doing this for a while. So we've seen this huge transition from in-person meetings online with Zoom and Teams and WebEx. And we've all seen, some of these funny and often embarrassing or even inappropriate YouTube clips of people caught in their meetings. What are some of the things you've been seeing?
Right. We've seen a lot of things that certainly range from the funny, like the newscaster that stood up and didn't have any pants on, had his boxer shorts on, so those kind of funny things that go viral on video. We've also seen things that are distracting, like people eating on their calls, or the worst one I heard of was flossing in a council meeting. Not something we do, right? So again, they go from distracting to embarrassing, but they can also be really damaging to our reputation. I'll just give you a quick example. I was on one call, a Zoom call, and it was, the folks were unmuted. It was a webinar, folks were unmuted, and folks were out to allow for more dialogue back and forth. There was only about 16 of us on the call. But one of the people on the call who likely thought that they were muted weren't. And she started to have a call and name some names of mayor and council members. So it got to the point where the rest of us were practically shouting at her to hit mute while the moderator frantically looked for the mute all button. So it can be really damaging potentially to our reputation as well.
And to our relationships.
Yes, exactly.
So why is it so important that we get this right?
It really is. I mean, things that come so natural to us in a face-to-face environment or a meeting environment are a little bit different online. I think probably there's, three key things that I like to look at. The first is it's about making that good first impression. So according to the research, and I'm a big fan of Amy Cuddy, I don't know if you've seen her video on TED Talks, fantastic video on how to bring your presence into the game. Her research tells us that we have about 3 to 5 seconds to make a good first impression. But in that 3 to 5 seconds, everybody else is still assessing you to see how trustworthy you are and how capable you are. So absolutely, we need to bring our A game to the video platform. The next thing I think is just about communications, right? If you're distracted or your audience is distracted or doing things, we really are challenged at getting our message across in this virtual platform, because let's put it this way, it's way easier to text in front of someone on a video call than it is to do it face to face. So getting your point across. And I think the third one then is really about our reputation. You know, if we're attending a council meeting, for example, and people are making decisions about major projects, and all we can see as citizens is the top half of their head, it doesn't lend credibility to our process. And if people aren't talking about it, they are. Don't kid yourself. You go in these social media chat rooms, Facebook and these community group Facebook pages, you'll see comments about the visual performance and presence of their local government electeds, comments about them. So we really do need to bring our A game. And this makes sense as well. I mean, think about, Susan, how many council or board rooms have you been in where they're beautifully appointed? They've got gorgeous Canadian wood and beautiful flags, you know, and now we're conducting business from our kitchen table. So it's a little bit different. So we do need to pay attention to this and how we come across online.
So that we still appear professional, yes. You know, even in these interesting times we find ourselves in. What are some of the most common mistakes you see people making?
I think the first and the most common mistake absolutely is not treating the lens like it's the eyes of the person that you're looking into. I mean, life is too short for us to be looking at nose hairs or gray hairs, right? Or worse yet, spending the entire meeting looking at someone's ear or the top of their head, right? Like, getting your lens level with your eyes is one of the best ways to make that connection. And again, that eye connection really helps build connection with your audience and helps you with your getting your point across and your reputation and credibility and all those other good things that we're trying to replicate in this online platform. So definitely leveling your lens.
So if this is on your, could be your webcam or the camera on your laptop, or on your iPad, your tablet, getting that up at eye level. Is this what we're talking about?
Absolutely. And it's super simple. I mean, it could be just as simple as taking a stack of books and putting your laptop on a stand or putting your laptop on the stack of books or getting a stand for your iPad and making sure that it's eye level. And you can practice with this. I mean, take a screenshot and just see where you're at with it. Have a call with a friend and see what they see. So one of the most important things about that is to make sure that it's steady. Now, one of the things that is distracting from people, and the more things are distracting to our audience, the less they're picking up what we're delivering. And also it contributes to Zoom fatigue, as it's been coined, is people with shaky videos. So you're walking around with your camera or you're holding it in your hand and it's shaking, right? This isn't like a cinema verite thing we're trying to replicate here, you know? So Keep it steady and keep it at eye level. Super easy to do.
Super easy and important. I've seen some of those unfortunate angles that you mentioned, and right. Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Right, that one that went viral where the woman took her laptop into the bathroom. I mean, seriously, there's a way to shut off your camera and excuse yourself.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Jan Enns.
Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today.
Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Jan Enns. So what are some of the other things that we can do to prepare for our call?
Well, I think a couple things about preparing for your call, and that's test the tech. We don't want to be fiddling around online, you know, arriving late. Oh, hey, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? We've all been in those calls, and it's quite annoying. When we were face-to-face, this was different. Someone might just slide into a meeting late, or they would just pull in, pull their chair out, sit down. Now there's a lot more moving parts to that, if you will. For example, making sure that your camera's working, that your audio is working, that you have some kind of good microphone. If you're going to be doing this a lot, I highly recommend buying a microphone. I have a Blue Yeti. And in fact, Susan, I actually have a list of the things that I use in my home office here.
Oh.
I'm happy to share that as well.
Would love to have that, yes.
Yeah, so, because I mean, I've even got special lights that dim and whatnot, which is, you know, high def after 50. It's always good to have those lights. Anyways, so definitely get your audio set up. I always recommend using a headset, especially because of the squelch, right? You've probably experienced that with folks coming onto your podcast.
Yes, yes. We have had, as in anything, we have people sometimes with differing levels of experience with the technology, and it does take a little bit to get it right.
Right. So think about it, in a council meeting, a board meeting, or a staff meeting, or a community engagement event, instead of, again, just sliding into the room and pulling a chair out and taking part, now all of a sudden everybody has to wait for you to get settled in. So if you can test your tech, there's free programs, free services, like all Zoom and WebEx and all those ones have some kind of free download that you can get, so you can try it on your own ahead of the meeting. So find out what tech you're going to be using, test it out, test it with friends. I mean, I belong to the Kelowna AM Masters, AM Toastmasters, shout out to them for helping me. But we do online Toastmasters groups, and we're able to actually have times where we can practice some of that tech, like using whiteboards or breakout rooms in Zoom. We want to practice what we're going to present. So definitely something to do in preparation.
Great tips. And we all know that interruptions have been unavoidable in many cases, as folks are working from their home and often have kids and so on.
Right.
Any strategies, any tips for dealing with that?
Yes, absolutely. I call it creating your studio. So if you're going to be doing a lot of this, create your own studio. Like, where is a place that you can work relatively undisturbed, that you can have your mic set up? Maybe you've got curtains around you. I've got these noise reducing curtains that drop down behind my monitors. And I also have a backdrop. We can talk more about that as well. But finding that space where you can do it. If you can't, and you're, say, at the kitchen table and you have kids, you need to find a way to carve out some space. Another thing that I do, for example, to prepare is I put a post-it note on the, I'm in a home office, so I put a post-it note outside just saying, hey, I'm recording a podcast today. Don't bug me. You know, here's a pen and paper. Leave a note. I unplug my phones and I turn my cell phone off so I can have those unnecessary interruptions. The same goes with any kind of dinger notifications on your computer, to turn those off as well.
Now, you mentioned backgrounds, and this is something we've seen too, pictures and backgrounds or green screens. I saw an example where, people have turned them in themselves. There was a picture of someone who had turned themselves into a potato for the meeting and then couldn't turn it off. what are your thoughts on these things?
Well, if you're going to be doing this a lot, you might want to set up a studio. So there's ways that you can do that. You can buy a green screen, for example, and you can use, like, Zoom as an example, has a way where you can actually project a picture on the back of that green screen. And what that does, it allows the screen, the picture, to project and you to be in front without any jagged edges showing. We've probably all seen people try that Zoom feature without a green screen, and you'll notice that parts of them will disappear.
Yes.
And especially, say, for example, if they're wearing green, which is the color that kind of gets blocked out. I watched one mayor who likes to drink a beverage in a green bottle, Perrier, and if I can, anyways, and the bottle would disappear, and it would look really funny because part of him would disappear, as we've seen that without green screen. So if you are going to use pictures or want to use a background like that, get a real background. I have one that I use because I do a lot of training and coaching. So I've got like a newsy one, and I've got the one today that is the clouds and the blue sky, kind of Anderson Cooper style, I figure. But you can also get the green screen and project a picture. The other thing then is if you are doing something, say in your living room, your den or something like that, look for what's behind you and minimize the clutter. Like clean it up. Nobody needs to see the laundry basket. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, any doors are closed. Doors are actually notoriously bad because we're always waiting for someone to walk in through the door. Yes. And certainly we've seen that. I think there was that BBC interview where his kids came in and the nanny came chasing after. But think about that. There's a really fun Twitter site. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's called Room Raider. And it's, you've got to try, check it out. So it's on Twitter. It's called Room Raider. And they take people in the news and they rate their backgrounds. Because a lot of people aren't doing this on a regular basis. They're, you know, doing it more ad hoc. And so they rate they give higher points for having plants in there, or maybe some books or nice lighting. You can talk about lighting as well. I think the funny one was with a news, global news broadcaster, Keith Baldry, who's been doing a lot of reporting here in British Columbia on the pandemic and reporting on our lovely Dr. Bonnie Henrys, who we're all so very proud of. Anyways, when they first rated him, I think they gave him like a 5 out of 10 for his backdrop. And then, so he saw that and he added some, a flag or something like that and some books. And then he added a plant and he went gradually from 5 out of 10 to 9 out of 10 to 10 out of 10.
I am definitely going to check that out. I might get some ideas for my own background there.
Exactly, right? So things to think about that soften it and give it depth. So there's some great tips on that. And it's, of course, it's a ton of fun to watch how they do that. So just some ideas for background there that might help in terms of what you're doing.
I want to thank Jan Enns for taking the time to chat with us. And thank you for listening. Stay tuned for part 2. Jan will be sharing more tips on how to optimize your virtual presence. If you'd like to hear more from Jan, follow her on Twitter at Jan Enns. If you found the information in today's episode useful, we hope you'll please drop us a note to let us know or give us a shout on Twitter at Municipal World. Until next time, I'm Susan Gardner. This is MW Shares. Please stay healthy, stay safe.